Our subject is Remember the Key to Spiritual Progress, or Memory, the Key to Spiritual Progress. Remember, that is the leading word in that verse, in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 13. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, or their conduct, or their way of life. First of all, remember them which have rule over you. Past teachers, past pastors are probably in mind, as well as present teachers and pastors and preachers. Remember their faith. Remember their godly fear toward God. So it is not confined to pastors and ministers only, or preachers only, but it includes other believers who have taught us by their examples, by their life, and by their testimony, are also called to mind. If you turn back to chapter 12, verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So remember these teachers and pastors and preachers who have been living such godly life. Remember their reverence and godly fear. Remember their conduct and motives. In addition, we also think of those. Remember who? Remember those mentioned in chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So, remember the cloud of witnesses. These are the people we ought to remember and to learn from them. First and foremost, let us think or recall their teachings. Here in this text, their teachings would be refers to pastors, preachers, teaching elders of the church. The word translated as rule in the Greek New Testament refers to somebody who guides us or leads us. But it's clear, quite clear here, that the person guiding or leading is doing so from the word of God. The teacher, the pastor, the preacher has no personal authority. He has no authority over your life himself personally. And this also is taught by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 5, verse 3. The pastor, the preachers, they guide us and lead us from the word of God. His responsibility is to expound, to teach, and to apply the word of the living God. And in so far as he does that, his word should be taken very seriously. We must seek to prove everything that he said from God's word, because as God's people, you are under Christ, not under your preacher. It is Christ's word, and it is what he says. If the preacher merely expresses his own opinion or unjustifiable conclusion, then we are not obliged to listen to him. In fact, we should not listen to him. He is astray. But if he is preaching God's word and he is proving it to us, and that is evidently so, then here is Christ's authority. So we interpreted it this way. Remember them which have the rule, the guidance and the leadership of the church spiritually, who have spoken unto you the word of God. That qualifies their rule, that qualifies their authority significantly. And so we keep that in mind. lordship over God's people is forbidden by the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. The disciples were clearly commanded that they would not be lords over God's people. They are not to exercise personal authority. They were to bring out the authority of God's word and apply it and explain it and apply it. The preacher must decrease and fade away while God's word is applied to the heart. And in so far as he proves that it is the word of God and demonstrates and shows that, then you listen, because then you are really listening to God's word and not to a man and not to his mistakes and his opinions and so on. Verse 7a again, Hebrews 13. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. The preacher has four tasks. He is an evangelist. He is to seek to persuade sinners to come to Christ. He is to present the means of salvation, the Son of God coming, suffering, and dying on Calvary's cross, making a substitutionary atonement for our sins. The preacher is also to teach doctrine, the faith, the great doctrines of the faith, which are in the scripture. He is also to be an exhorter. He is to apply these things to the hearts, both to encourage and also to convict. And then he is a representative of the glory of God and of Christ. And he is to lift up souls and to show the greatness of these themes and these matters in scripture. These are four really quite different departments of preaching, and they are to be engaged in all the time. Evangelism, doctrine, exaltation, and the uplifting of hearts and magnifying of Christ and bringing glory to his holy name. These are the tasks of the preacher. And insofar as he does that, we must try and retain, to remember, to recall the knowledge, the exaltation, the doctrine that we have received. I am sure during our student days, though for those who are still studying and learning in school, you will adopt and use various ways or methods and try to remember or recall the things that you have learned in preparation for your exams or for your tests, isn't it? You have various strategies to recall and different means to retain in your memory so that then you can get ready to sit for your test or your examination. And so it is for Christian people to employ certain strategies or ways to remember, to retain knowledge of God, to retain God's word and God's truth. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Remember what the preachers, the pastors, the teaching elders, what did they say? Remember the great themes of the Bible, what they taught you from the word of God. Remember your own personal spiritual lesson. Remember your great blessings, and remember even your fall. And never make those mistakes again. Advance in your spiritual life means there is something remembering to do. And that would involve adopting some practices that seal these things in your mind, in your memory. If you want to be a worldly-headed Christian, saved by the Lord, thundering throughout life, never advancing very much, well then, don't bother to remember anything. Don't use any methods to retain things in your mind. Well, the methods are obvious. To reflect on those things that you have learned, that I have learned. And we can do that, for example, after the worship service, or whenever there's opportunity when we meet together for fellowship or for other meetings in the church. We talk about these things, and this is one way to reflect, one way to help us to retain, to recall the teachings and the lessons that we have learned together. So as Christian people, we ought to take every opportunity to help one another to retain and to recall the things we learn from the Bible and through the preaching of God's word. Talk about these spiritual things. Talk about the blessings of the Lord. Read supplementary reading. Read broadly. In fact, I would suggest that things, good books, and not just spiritual books or Christian books. Read about the great themes of the Bible. And in that way, it will help you reinforce those things in your mind. And of course, applying or practicing this spiritual truth in your daily life will also seal this truth in your mind and in your heart. So we ask, are you doing that? And if not, why? Why is it that you will adopt all the various methods for your study in preparation for examination or tests or for other things? And why are you not adopting methods and ways to recall, to reflect, to revisit? Remember, put into memory, revisit these great themes of the scripture. And this is how believers are to plant or to let this knowledge take root in our hearts. These biblical truths, that it may be deeply rooted in our hearts and in our minds. Then when you are confronted with a problem, when you are facing a trouble and the difficult times, it may be a great shock to your faith, a time of grief, perhaps a time of doubts and temptation comes. Then pause. Take a moment to be quiet and recall. Remember the procedures. Remember what you have to do in such and such a situation. The scriptural advice, the scriptural text and promises. Then have them marked up and refer to them. Why? For example, if you are a first aider, and in fact right now I know that for even professionals like doctors and engineers and those who are in certain profession, you have to go for refresher course before you can renew your license to continue on in your professional work. And that's what happened to me also, that if I were to continue my former work as in the construction, I need to also go for a refresher course. And so, for example, if you are a first aider, every now and then, will you not revisit the course materials? Will you not read it up again? Will you not go for refresher courses? Perhaps. Or you will attend seminars to keep yourself abreast and informed of the various methods or procedures of first aid. Do you not do that? You want to keep abreast with those things that you have learned alive, so that you will know and what to do when the situation calls for it. So it is the same for our spiritual life. And in fact, more so for the Christian believers, because it concerns our souls. It concerns our eternal future. It concerns our testimony, our Christian witness and testimony. And we have to give an account to God, to the Lord Jesus on the final day. Keep these spiritual lessons and teachings of the Bible alive in your mind and in your heart by remembering it, by talking about it, by reflecting it, by applying it and practicing it daily in your Christian life. Yes, it is true. Life is getting busier. I mentioned this before. Responsibility is getting heavier. But don't be deceived. Do not make or allow remembering spiritual things or spiritual knowledge and lessons one of your casualties. Pray for the Lord's help, because there are great temptations that that Satan will set before us. And some of this temptation, as you well know, are legitimate and necessary. Our world, our care for the family, our various responsibilities and duties. These are all good and necessary, legitimate. But don't allow that to take priorities and you throw away remembering spiritual things and spiritual knowledge. Pray for the Lord's help that you know how to set your priorities. Pray that the Lord will help you to be a great rememberer of spiritual truth. And this is the key to spiritual advance. Moreover, to aid our memory, it is helpful with doctrine to have an organizing principle. So I would recommend to all Christians, particularly the young, at a very early age, they read a very good Christian books like Thomas Watson, The Body of Divinity. In it are all the doctrines of faith arranged in a beautiful and systematic order according to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and review it with great skill and warmth and application. Read that book. Read such book like this. But you see, to read that presentation is another way of sealing things in your mind, because you see how one doctrine hangs together or hangs upon another, and how it forms a wonderful system like a thing of beauty weaving together, and you have formed and you will form an organizing framework in your mind on these great themes and doctrines of the Bible. It is not hard. It is an enjoyment to read, and it is another approach to the great doctrine of the faith, to reinforce all this that you have learned and learn it again through reading all these good books. The point is, we have to adopt methods and techniques to recall, to recollect, to rehearse, to revise, to revisit this spiritual lesson and knowledge. That's the word, to remember. And yes, in the same verse, 7a, to remember them. Remember them which have the rule over you. Who are the them? Remember the teachers, the pastors, the preachers. Now, we must take note. Remembering them, not in terms of personal knowledge or admiration and venerating them. Not human notice. That is the last thing you want to do to the preachers and the pastors. But remember them, the teachers or pastors, they are what? Considering the end of their conversation. That is the word here, conversation. And this word in the Greek is a compound word that means something like this. Remember their going and returning. That's rather literal. They are going and returning. Or we might say they are coming and they are going. They are ins and outs. It means this. Remember their business or their busyness. Remember the things that they are engaged in. And in fact, you can help them and support them and pray for them. It's their way of going about things. Remember them would involve observing and taking notice of their lives, how they live their lives each day, and particularly when they face with a problem or a difficulty. What did the preacher or the pastor or the elder do in such a situation in difficulty? How did they handle that problem or that issue? Did he go to pieces or did he take it to the Lord in prayer? Have you noticed or observed how they resolved the problem? Then remember them. Learn from their experience and do the same thing, to take the matter to the Lord in prayer. Look at the verse again. Considering the end of their conversation, the end, literally the X, the upshot of their business or activity, their way of going about life. Remember their behavior, their conduct, their attitude, their Christian virtue, the values that they hold, and their way of living their lives as believers. Now, very quickly, I want to go on to verse 17, to so-called, in that sense, link it up with verse 7, but not directly. And that is, look at verse 17. But obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. This verse on the surface, and particularly the word obey in verse 70, obey them. Verse 7 is remember them, here is obey them. This word here in verse 17, obey, seems to be a contradiction to verse 7 and to the teachings of the Lord Jesus and to the teachings of the Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter, where lordship over God's people or executive power over the people of God is strictly forbidden in the Bible. So how are we to understand this verse in verse 17? Let us first consider the word obey. The Greek word translated as obey here in chapter 13 verse 17 is the same Greek word in Hebrews 11:13, but in that verse, in Hebrews 11:13, that word is translated as persuade. It is the same word group in the Greek. And the Apostle Paul uses the same Greek word translated as persuade in Romans and also in 2 Timothy. So, going back to Hebrews 13:17, the word obey is a persuasion word. What it means strictly in this context is this: be persuaded by them that have rule over you, those who lead and guide you by the preaching of the word of God, not by their personality and all that, but by the preaching of the word of God. Be persuaded, people. That is strictly the sense. Obey is a good translation, but it must be understood in the sense of being persuaded with sound reasoning, and not blindly obeying without testing or examining the truths and the facts. On the other hand, if the preacher or the pastor is expounding to you the word of God and he is proving it, then be prevailed upon. Do not oppose, but take note of it in humility, apply it as the word of God to you. Very quickly, the next word in verse 17, obey them that have rule over, and the word is submit yourselves. Here, submit is a command, which means to yield. So far, again, take note. So far as the preacher expound or preach the word of God to you correctly, then yield, then submit, yield to what they teach and be obedient to the word of God, because, as I said before, it is Christ's word to you, not the preacher. It is not his word. He is only proclaiming it. He is only expounding it. And like borrowing the words of Ezra, he is to make sense of it to you. So that is how we should understand and apply verse 17. Now back to verse 7. There is another aspect we need to observe in that verse. Who have spoken unto you. Remember them which have ruled over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. So you see here that there must be a public proclamation of the word of God. The word of God must be preached for the salvation of souls and for the nurture and building up of the Lord's people. It is the will of God to ordain preaching as the means of saving souls, as the means of edifying and building up the saints of God. It is God's will for that. It is God's ordained method. Yes, you can say that I can read the Bible. After all, did not the Holy Bible says the Holy Spirit will be the one to lead you in all truth? No, yes, that is for your personal devotion and reading. But here again, in public worship, there must be the proclamation of the word of God or the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is God's ordained means through preaching for the saving of souls. If you turn to Romans 13, which I'm sure you are very familiar, Romans 10:13 and 14 and 15 and 16, I read, for whosoever For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent or called? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16, but they that have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who have believed our report. And then verse 17, the key verse. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so it is an ordinance of Christ, and there must be preaching, and preaching in public worship. The command is to proclaim or to herald the gospel of Christ and to expound the scripture publicly in public worship. And therefore to remember is to take heed those who speak, those who have spoken to you the word of God, those who are called and prepared as preacher of the scripture. Now, I want to next thing to do is to very quickly, as time is running out, to connect verse 8 to verse 7. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Christ is in the heart of this spiritual exercise of remembering, of reflecting, of recalling. But not only that, you see, Christ is also in them. In these preachers and pastors who are teaching you the word of God or giving you the word of God, Christ is also in them, in their hearts and in their lives, in the lives of these preachers, pastors and teachers. Christ is all in all to them. So remember them. Why? Because they did everything for the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of these preachers and the believers in olden times. When persecuted, they turned to Christ. When they faced with opposition in their preaching and teaching of God's word, what do? They gave up? No, they turned to Christ. You see? So remember them. Remember their testimony, their Christian witness. They did it for Christ's sake, despite or in spite of the many difficulties and opposition they faced during their preaching and teaching ministry. In their preaching and teaching of God's word, they did it for Christ's sake. In their daily lives, they live for Christ's glory. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is all in these preachers and believers in time past. In persecution and affliction, they did not abandon their work of proclaiming Christ and his gospel. They endured and they cling on to the Lord Jesus, believing that this is the same Jesus who changed not, will deliver them finally. So these preachers, these pastors, these teachers, whether in times of joy or sorrow, whether in times of sickness or health, they all surrender, submit, and subject themselves humbly and joyfully to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, remember them. Remember their comings and goings, says the text. Remember what they did. Remember why they did it, and who they did it for, and how they were sustained. They were separate from the world for Christ. They renounced those sinful worldly pleasures, and specifically those worldly entertainments and fleshly things. They forsook all to be separated for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his work, and to live lives that pleases him and honor Christ. Oh, how many Christians, how many of us who say we are Christian will do that for Christ, whom they claim to be their Savior and their Lord, to forsake all, to renounce those sinful worldly pleasures, to be separated to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many Christians are doing that? The word here in verse 8, Jesus is the same yesterday. Yesterday refers to the life of Christ, Christ yesterday, what he did on earth, his wonderful works of grace and mercy. Read the Gospels often. Revisit the Gospel. Reflect and recall what Christ did in his earthly ministry. His suffering and his death on Calvary's cross for you. His resurrection and his ascension into heaven. Look at all these things again. What Christ did. Christ yesterday. Christ today. Be much more interested in what he is doing today. In your church, in your lives, in the lives of those around you who love Christ. Christ today refers to be more interested in the Lord Jesus Christ today, in your church, in your lives, in the lives of those who love Christ. How he gives power, grace, and visit us in his great glory. And then finally, Christ forever. He changes not. Everything in this world changes, but Christ, our Lord, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ is as full of love, grace, and mercy as ever. Turn to him. Turn to him. When Christ appears to his disciples on a number of occasions before his ascension, have you noticed how familiar he is with the disciples? I repeat, when Christ appears to his disciples on a number of occasions before his ascension, after his resurrection, but before his ascension into heaven, have you noticed how familiar he is with the disciples? How kind he is? He goes and meets them, and he moves amongst them, just as he always did before his death on Calvary's cross, when he was with them on earth. Did you notice that? Because why? He changes not. He does not change. And you might think, oh, after his resurrection, Christ right now is the victor, is the conqueror. He conquered over death and defeated Satan. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and therefore he will be removed, distant, authoritative. But no, Christ appears before his ascension, and one of the great purposes is to show us his continual personal affection for each one of his disciples and his care for them and his affinity and kindness and friendship towards them. Is Christ your friend? Is Christ your savior? So it is with us, those who are in new union with Christ through his Holy Spirit. Verse 8 says, Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is dealing with each one of his children as though you were the only one, as though all the affection, power, and concerns of the Godhead is with you, all upon you. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 reads this, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How about you, dear friends? Is Christ your all in all? In the first place, is Christ your personal savior? Is Christ, for those of you who are believers, is Christ in the center of your life? 1 John 3:2, the Apostle John says, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Are you, as believers, growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you adopt methods, strategies, techniques to remember the Word of God, to remember the great doctrines of the Bible, to remember spiritual truth. Meanwhile, as Christian pilgrims, we are to remember them, the preachers, the past preachers, pastors, teachers, and preachers of the New Testament also. Everything that they said and did was for the Lord Jesus. And that's how present Christian believers should be living. It should be the same with us. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious loving Father, thank thee for your word of life. And we pray that you will help us as people of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, that your Holy Spirit will generate in us, O Lord, a increasing desire and love and delight for the laws of God. And like the psalmist, to remember them, to apply it in our daily lives. O Father, we pray in this new week that thou will help us to walk anew and afresh with thee in remembering thee who is the same yesterday, today and forever, and to remember those whom you have sent and given to us to be our teachers, our witnesses, and to learn and to remember their testimony and what they have done and what they did for you. O Lord, we pray that you will help us also to learn from their example. So Lord, bless us, thy people, with your peace and your joy as we have this day of this Sabbath rest, that we may observe this day in holy reverence, and that we may spend this Lord's Day, this Sabbath day, in holy worship, and also in reflecting and remembering of thy work and thy mercy and thy love upon us. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.